بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى: حدثنا مسدد قال حدثنا إسماعيل بن إبراهيم قال حدثنا زياد بن مخراق قال حدثني تيسلة بن مياس قال: كنت مع النجدات فأصبت ذنوبا لا أراها إلا من الكبائر، فذكرت ذلك لابن عمر رضي الله عنهما، قال: ما هي؟ قلت: كذا وكذا. قال: ليست هذه من الكبائر، هن تسع: الإشراك بالله، وقتل نسمة، والفرار من الزحف، وقذف المحصنة، وأكل الربا، وأكل مال اليتيم، وإلحاد في المسجد، والذي يستسخر، وبكاء الوالدين من العقوق. قال لي ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما: أتفرق من النار وتحب أن تدخل الجنة؟ قلت: إي والله. قال: أحي والداك؟ قلت: عندي أمي. قال: فوالله لو ألنت لها الكلام وأطعمتها الطعام لتدخلن الجنة ما اجتنبت الكبائر. Taysalah ibn Mayyas says that I was with the Najdat, the companions of Amir ibn Najda, the Khawarij. فَأَصَبْتُ ذُنُوبًا لَا أَرَاهَا إِلَّا مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ. I committed mistakes which I considered to be from the major sins only. I mentioned them to Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who said, what are these mistakes? I said, such and such. He said, these mistakes are not from kabair. Hunna tis'un. The kabair are nine. Number one, al-ishraku billah, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, وَقَتْلُ نَسَمَةٌ, to murder someone, to take someone's life. Number three, وَالْفِرَارُ مِنَ الزَّحْفِ, to flee from a battle, to run away from the battlefield. Number four, وَقَذْفُ الْمُحْسَنَةِ, to accuse, to slander an innocent, chaste woman. Number five, وَأَكْلُ الرِّبَا, taking interest, taking usury. For those who understand the Arabic language, the word al-akl here denotes the meaning al-akhd. Wa aklur riba, the literal meaning is to eat interest, to eat usury, to consume interest, to consume usury. The extra money that a person receives as interest cannot be eaten. The money cannot be eaten. So here, the word al-akl denotes the meaning of al-akhd, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the glorious Quran, وَأَخْذِهِمُ الرِّبَا وَقَدْ نُهُوا عَنْهُ. Because riba, interest, usury is taken, that extra money that the taker does not deserve, he takes from people. And after taking interest, after taking usury, he may use it for food, he may use it for clothing, he may use it for other luxuries. Taking interest, taking usury is a very grave sin in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only is taking interest a grave sin in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving of interest is also from the kabair, from the major sins, and it is very much disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in a hadith, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ آكِلَ الرِّبَا وَمُوكِلَهُ وَشَاهِدَيْهِ وَكَاتِبَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his curse upon all those who are associated with interest transaction, interest dealing. And it is the unanimous opinion of the scholars and ulama that wherever the wa'id and the warning of la'na is mentioned for a particular crime, that crime falls in the category of the kaba'ir. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, la'ana Allahu akil al-riba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends curse upon the one who takes interest. وَمُوكِلَهُ, and also on the one who gives interest. وَشَاهِدَيْهِ, and also upon those people who witness a transaction, a document which is based on interest, where giving and taking of interest is involved. وَكَاتِبَهُ, and also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends curse, la'na, upon that person who writes this document, who types this document, who prepares this document. He is only a clerk. He prepares the document. He prepares the document for the giver of interest, for the taker of interest, for those who are going to witness this transaction. The curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon this person also. And we find in the hadith narrated by Imam Tabarani rahimahullahu ta'ala, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, إِذَا ذَهَرَ الزِّنَا وَالْرِبَا فِي قَرِيَةٍ. When zina, adultery, fornication, riba, taking and giving of usury interest becomes rife in a society, in a community, in a village, in a town, in a city, in a country, فَقَدْ أَحَلُّوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ, or فَقَدْ أَحَلُّوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِقَابَ اللَّهِ. Then the people of that locality, the people of that town, the people of that city have invited the wrath and punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala in his Musnad on the authority of Amr ibn As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, ما من قوم يظهر فيهم الربا إلا أخذوا بالسنة. But that nation, those people amongst whom the taking and giving of interest becomes rife, becomes very common, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them with famine. Now, here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has mentioned famine, drought. What is the consequence of famine? What is the result of drought? Less money, less resources. So, the recession that we see throughout the world is also famine and drought. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes a nation with drought or with famine, what is the result? What is the consequence? Less resources to spend on oneself. So similarly, whenever there is inflation and wherever there is recession, people will not be able to find resources to support themselves. People will not find the resources to spend upon themselves, their families. So this is punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for involving in interest-based dealings. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said in another hadith, which is reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, that وَمَنْ أَكَلَ دِرْهَمًا مِنْ رِبَا. One who takes only one dirham of riba. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, there were two coins used, gold coin and silver coin. Gold coin was called dinar and the silver coin was called dirham. So dirham, like 10 pence, 20 pence, a penny, one who takes only one dirham of riba, فَهُوَ مِثْلُ ثَلَاثٍ وَثَلَاثِينَ زَنِيَةً, then the sin of taking this one dirham of interest is equal to the sins of committing adultery, fornication 33 times. And in the same hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَن نَبَتَ لَحْمُهُ مِنَ السُّحْد أي مِنَ الْحَرَامِ. One who sustains his body from haram. وَمَن نَبَتَ لَحْمُهُ مِنَ السُّحْد. One who sustains his body with haram. One who nurtures his body, physical body, with haram. And haram is of two types. One is the money with which a person is buying the food is halal, but the food itself is haram. The money that he is spending is halal. It has come to him from halal resources, but with that he is buying pork, he is buying meat which is not slaughtered correctly, he is buying alcohol. So this is one type of haram. That the money is halal, but the item he is buying is haram. Or, the item that he is buying is halal. It is meat which is slaughtered correctly according to the Islamic principles. Or he is buying fruits, he is buying bread, he is buying vegetables, but the money with which he is buying this halal item, this halal food, is haram. So because he is taking this halal item in return of haram money, this halal item for him will become haram. So woman nabata lahmuhu min as-suhti, one who nurtures his body through haram resources, fannaru awla bihi, then this body deserves jahannam. Jahannam is more deserving of this body than Jannat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will throw such a person in the fire of Jahannam. In another hadith narrated by Ibn Majah rahimahullahu ta'ala on the authority of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, Ar-riba sab'una huban, taking and giving of interest. Ar-riba sab'una huban. It has 70 different categories of sins. So for taking interest, there are 7 categories of sins. Person A is involved in taking and giving interest. He could be on the top category. He could be committing the 70th category of sin. Person B is also involved in dealing with interest. He could be in the lowest category. So his sins, the one on the lowest category, will be much more less than the one on the 70th category. So his punishment will be much more less than the one on the 70th category. Now, in order to understand the gravity of this sin and how severe the 70th category will be, or the 69th category will be, or the 68th category will be, or 60th category will be, or the 50th category will be, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains to us the severity of the first category. So in taking and giving interest, there are 70 categories of sins. It all depends on what a person's transaction is, how he is dealing in interest. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, out of these 70 categories, the lowest category, Aisaruha, the lowest category is equivalent to Ayyan kihar rajulu ummahu. The lowest category is like committing zina, adultery, fornication with one's mother. So the person who commits the lowest category of sin by taking or giving interest, his sin is equivalent, or his crime is equivalent to the sin and the crime of a person who commits adultery and fornication with his own mother. So what will be the gravity of the sin of that person who is committing the second category, or the third category, or the fourth, or the tenth, or the 20th, or the 30th, or 50th, or 60th, or 65th, or the 70th category of sin from riba? So the person who engages in interest-based transactions, either he gives, either he takes, and it's not only mortgage that is interest-based. There are so many insurances that are interest-based. There are so many warranties and guarantees that a person buys when purchasing goods, fridge, freezers, hoovers, 1 year guarantee, 1 year warranty, 2 year guarantee, 2 year warranty, if you give so much. One needs to refer to the ulama and the people of ifta, the muftis, and find out the shari'i position of any and every transaction before entering a contract, whatever it may be. Try to find out from the ulama whether a particular insurance policy is permissible or not. whether a warranty, guarantee, contract is permissible or not. Give them all the details. Normally when we talk about interest, people think that mortgage is interest based. And number two, you lend somebody 100 pounds and you take 110 pounds. That is interest. That is what normally people think. No. There are so many ways a person can get involved in riba, especially in this day and age. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala narrates on the authority of Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that a time will come on my ummah yati ala nasi zaman. A time will come upon people yakuluna fihi riba. When people will consume riba, when people will take riba, interest, when people will deal in interest. So, Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu said, somebody asked, An-nasu kulluhu? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying this 1430 years ago. Allahu Akbar. An-nasu kulluhum, everybody will be involved in riba, in interest dealings. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man lam ya'kulhu minhum. One who tries his utmost to abstain from interest-based transactions. There are so many people, alhamdulillah, in this day and age, who try their utmost and who remain pure from entering contracts which are based on interest. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a time will come, and he was talking about this time. He said a time will come when those people who will not take interest, who will not give interest, who will not enter interest-based contracts, na lahu min hubari. Dust will definitely touch him. Dust will definitely touch him. I remain pure from interest-based transactions, but I come to your house for a cup of tea. You remain pure from interest-based transactions, but you come to my house for a cup of tea. Or when I go to a shop and I make sure that nothing is interest-based. But where has he bought his goods from? How has he bought his goods? And the experts in economics have said that the whole world is running on interest-based transactions. Sadaqallah wa sadaqa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So in this day and age, we have to be very, very careful. Very, very careful. Because those people who involve themselves in interest-based transactions, they are not doing good to themselves, nor their families, nor their associates, from the worldly perspective or the perspective of the akhirah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, reported on the authority of Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that during the night of Miraj, I came upon a group of people whose bellies were large and big like homes, like houses. So they were very big in size as well. Their bodies were very big in size and their bellies were extra large. They were like homes. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that what was in their bellies was visible from outside. And I could see that they were snakes. Allahu Akbar. Fiha al-hayyat. In these bellies were snakes which were visible from outside. So I said to Jibril, Man haula ya Jibril? Oh Jibril, who are these people? Jibril alayhi salam said, Akalatur riba. Those people who used to take interest, who used to deal with interest, usury. So those people who engage in interest-based transactions are not doing any good to themselves in this world nor the hereafter. In the hereafter they will be punished. In this world they are incurring crime upon crime, sin upon sin. And so much so that the lanat and the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon them. And what is the meaning of lana? Lana means ib'ad and rahmatillah. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distances this person from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of lana. So anyone who engages in interest-based transactions, he will go far and far away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to be very, very vigilant. We need to make sure that we keep ourselves pure from interest-based transactions. Those of us who have already involved themselves in interest-based transactions, before taking any action, they should refer to experienced ulama and muftis and seek clarifications and seek guidance before taking any interest. And many people look at the worldly benefits. When they take mortgage out, they look at the worldly benefits. They look at it from this perspective, that if I rent a house, then I will be paying £400 every month. But after 20 years, I will still be the same. I won't have my own home. And if I start paying mortgage, at least after 20 years, that house will be mine. Yes, from the worldly perspective, you can see this difference. But from the perspective of the akhirah, there is another difference. And that difference is that if a person lives in a rented accommodation for 20 years, paying rent, the house may not belong to him, but Allah will still remain his. And this person who purchases the property and pays interest, after 20 years, this house will become his, but Allah will not remain his. And he will remain no more a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to look at it from that perspective. The life hereafter, wal akhiratu khayrun wa abqa. The life hereafter is everlasting. And that is the better life. We should base all our decisions on the akhirah. And many people take interest with this in mind, that if I take interest, so many people in this day and age, they invest money either in banks directly, so direct, or they invest money in those policies which have a different name, but it is interest based, without making inquiries. And they feel that if I do not take interest, or if I do not invest my money in the policies where I have invested money, then I won't make money. I won't make any profit. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made it very, very clear. Inna riba wa in kasura. Those people who take money through interest resources, through the sources of interest, those people who take money from interest sources, how much ever a person accumulates wealth through this avenue, فَإِنَّ عَاقِبَتَهُ تَصِيرُ إِلَىٰ قُلِّنْ أَيْ قَلِيلٍ فَإِنَّ عَاقِبَتَهُ, the consequence and the result is that he will become a bankrupt. Those people who accumulate wealth, today they have wealth, tomorrow they won't have wealth. Those people who accumulate wealth through haram resources, today they will have wealth, tomorrow they won't. Their children will suffer. They themselves will suffer in this world. And even if the money remains with them, then this money becomes a cause of dispute amongst people, amongst brothers, amongst family. Even if there is no dispute, such people do not find the contentment of heart. Such people do not find peace of mind. Such people are unable to benefit from this money, neither in this world nor in the hereafter. They are unable to spend for Umrah. They are unable to spend for Hajj. They are unable to spend in the construction of the masajid. They are unable to spend upon themselves. They become stingy. Allah closes their hearts. They cannot even spend upon themselves. Not even upon their children. Not even upon their wives and husbands. Not even upon their parents. And if they are able to spend, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strikes them with illnesses which prevent them from benefiting from this money. So what is the point of this money? What is the point? The point of the money is that either we enjoy with this money in this world or the hereafter. But a person will neither be able to enjoy in this world nor in the hereafter. So remain firm. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the provider. Inna Allah huwa al-Razzaq. It is Allah who is the provider. Have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. One who has trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is enough for him. When a person swallows a bitter pill only to carry out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this bitter pill will remain no more bitter after a person crosses his hurdle. It is only a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordering Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam to slaughter Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam. And when he swallowed that bitter pill, and when he started slaughtering Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam, so he crossed this hurdle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came with the help. So similarly, when we are faced with situations where the shaitan whispers this, that if you do not seize this opportunity of making money, then this will happen, this will happen, this will happen. If we swallow that bitter pill and say, whatever, come what may, whatever the circumstances, I will not disobey my Creator, I will not violate the command of my Creator. As soon as you cross this hurdle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come with his help, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open all the doors of success. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to refrain from every disobedience. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم زيننا بالعلم واجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو فعل أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو فعل أو عمل اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولأهلينا ولمحبينا ولمحسنينا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمته.